broadcasting from Hollywood, California. It's Grant's Rants, Hollywood Talk.
Oprah checks in on Honey Boo Boo and Company. Madonna, you do look ridiculous. Whoopi plots an escape from ABC's The View, and the Beverly Hills Housewives get a reality check and some straight talk from June Florey. That and more right here. Let the ranting begin. I am joined by June Florey, granny to me. She's from episode 5 and episode number 16. Granny.
Hi there. This is the Sage from Coventry, Rhode Island again. Hope you enjoy what we're going to talk about. I give you some good hometown talking.
Yep, real talk. And, Nothing but real talk.
I'm glad to be back. So let's get going.
Sounds good. We're going to sound off on hot topics. I know this one's got a lot to say. And then in the second part of this episode, I am going to share a little bit of my Hollywood hustle. I've had a lot of guests on this show talk about how they keep the dream alive and how the struggle is real. And I thought to myself, well, it's time that I kind of share where I'm coming from. And I think it's going to be an interesting chat. So let's get started.
Yeah, sounds good. The weather here has been miserable. It's been raining every day and it's going to rain every day next week. But hopefully we'll have time to plant the flowers.
Yeah, well, tell me a little bit about that and all that you have going on. I know you wanted to promote a book.
Oh, I'm busy writing. I wrote another chapter today. I've got about 20 short chapters written. And I've started from when my grandparents came over on the boat from Italy and all of my life growing up. A lot of little personal things that people wouldn't know if they went in the, you know, did an ancestry check. It wouldn't tell them all the little personal things that people did in their lives and how they struggled to survive. And so I'm very happy. This is something I've always wanted to do. Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty near done with the book. Then I'm going to go on to another small book about all my little episodes in my life that were kind of funny. So I'm really enjoying it.
That's good.
I'm always busy going out. I've been working in the garden when it doesn't rain, and I'm ready to plant flowers pretty soon after Mother's Day.
Well, I've always said that you should write some type of memoir because you have a very, very interesting life, and you've shared some of that, just a small portion, on Grant's Rants. So I always thought you should write like a real, like, just tell-all. But I think this is more you. How you've been writing and the stories you've been writing and reflecting on your life and your family and the information that you know is just more you. And I think it's smart.
Yeah, I like things that are real. I don't care for fiction that much. Mm-hmm. I like nonfiction. And I want to do this for my children, my grandchildren, and my nieces and nephews, because they keep asking me questions like, well, what happened when you were growing up? What was life like back then? What happened during World War II? So I'm writing all these little things that people wouldn't ever know about if I didn't write them. Mm-hmm. So I'm very happy to do it, and I'm going to hopefully get it into a book form. I have a lot of pictures that go with the stories. Fortunately, I saved all the old pictures. So I've been putting it all together, and I think it's going to be kind of interesting.
I think so.
Hopefully. It's leave it for posterity.
Right, right.
So, yeah.
Well, you say you like things that are real and nonfiction. So let's talk about the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. They just wrapped their 23-episode-long season. I'm not counting the secrets revealed. I can't be bothered to watch any bonus footage at this point. What did you think of the season?
It was very dull. There wasn't much that went on. And if they didn't talk about that Munchausen, you know, I don't know what they would have talked about if they didn't talk about that. It was kind of, they repeated themselves. They didn't really have much of a storyline. It was kind of a disappointing season to me. Yeah. And, all they talked about was, you know, that Munchausen syndrome. And if they bothered that poor Yolanda one more time with that illness, it just wasn't very interesting. That Erica, I liked her. She added a little bit of spice to the program. Actually, there wasn't much happening.
It's true. Now that you've had some time to reflect on the season, do you have any advice for these ladies? They all kind of went in different directions this season, so what do you have to say to them at this point?
Well, I thought about it. Now, Yolanda, I think she should quit. She doesn't need all that stress. Get better and enjoy your life. Mm-hmm. You're too old-fashioned for this show. That's how I feel. Erica.
Talk about not old-fashioned.
Erica, she seems like she's a very down-to-earth person. And she doesn't seem to understand. She seems taken aback by all this backbiting. She doesn't need it either. But if she wants to stay in the game, I'd say go ahead and do it. That Lisa Rinna.
Where do we begin with advice?
Stop asking questions and trying to straighten out everyone's life. You know, I mean... And now I saw on the computer tonight, after 20 years, she finally got a new hairdo.
Yeah.
She decided. She pulled all her hair back from her face now, straight back. And it's okay, you know. It is a change after those owl eyes and those big lips and all that hair coming down.
You know, but I have to say, yeah, though. Yeah, but that look that she has now is similar to Yolanda's look when she cut her hair short.
Yeah, well, it is a different look for Lisa Rinna,
it's true.
I don't know if I don't know if she'll keep it or not. It's a little different. Thank God. I mean, from seeing that hair the same way every season, after 20 years, it's time for a change. And now that Lisa Vanderpump, the thing that gets me about her, why does her husband always have to be on the scene with the women? He gets involved in all their problems. This is the housewives, not the husband's show.
It's true.
Stay home with the dogs and the ponies. Do you know that her husband, his net worth is about $85 million?
Just him alone?
Just him alone.
Wow.
He was in textiles before he went into the restaurant business. And he had a lot of restaurants. And that's where she met him, in one of his restaurants over in England. So she doesn't even have to be on the show. He's worth $85 million. They'll never go through all that money. So that's what he's worth.
You know a lot of stuff.
Kyle,
I didn't even know that.
Now, Kyle, stop crying all the time and listening to everyone talk around the table by flicking your eyes from one to the other with that stupid little grin on your face and sipping from a straw on the side of your mouth. Put some input into the conversation instead of just looking there like the Cheshire Cat grinning and her eyes going from one to the other to see what they're going to do next.
That's true. She did that the whole time at the reunion. She sat there and just watched.
Yeah, that's what she does. She cuts her head and she looks from one to the other, with that little grin on her face and sipping from the side of her mouth with a straw. Get over it. Put some input into the conversation. Now, that Eileen, she always seems baffled by what's going on. She can't seem to get over what's happening. She's always trying to straighten out the situations by trying to talk some sense.
Mm-hmm.
Honey, it doesn't work. Not with them. It doesn't work.
Do you think
there's... Catherine,
before we go to Catherine, do you think there's room for someone like Eileen next season, or do you think maybe she should just call it a day?
Well, there's room for her if she wants to be there. I think she enjoys it. she said it was a great experience, and I think she thinks it's fun as long as she doesn't get into too much trouble.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as long as they don't hook her into some plot or some problem and ruin her life.
It. Yeah. Well, what advice do you have for Catherine? Her first season on the show, she was met with a lot of backlash online. A lot of people, she even closed down her Twitter account at one point because people were so vicious towards her. So what do you have to say to Catherine? Yeah.
Well, I say to her, she doesn't seem to realize that you can't spread gossip and break a friend's trust and then think it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what I say to her.
Yeah.
And now I got some, speaking about the housewives, a little side thing that I found out. As of the 29th of April, Kim Richards is in trouble again. After skipping her AA meeting yesterday, in relation to her 2015 shoplifting event, the judge issued a warrant and set bail at $26,000. But she showed up yesterday. No, she showed up today, so she won't be in jail yet. But evidently, she's back to her own tricks again. So there you go with Kim.
Now, come on, Kim. How hard can it be to go to an AA meeting if that's really all you're expected to do at this time?
Yeah.
I mean, if that's really all they're asking her to do, like today, tomorrow, like this week.
Yeah. Evidently, either she forgot it or she wasn't feeling well or she thought she could get away with it.
Well, you know, people like Kim, people like Lindsay Lohan, they have nothing but excuses for things. So,
As important as it is,
I'm sure there was some menial excuse as to why she couldn't attend a meeting.
Yeah. I just hope for her sake that she's not, you know, off the wagon.
Yeah.
I hope she's still going along and being sober.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I sent you an email earlier, and we were talking about the Met Gala. And I had an issue with some of the outfits. I'm really not too into these galas. I don't care for any of these things too much. I'm really not that interested, to be honest. But when I saw what Madonna wore to that Met Gala, I was shocked. Did you see that picture?
Yes, I did.
Now, you know,
I don't know what she's trying to. I don't know what she's trying to prove with her butt hanging out and her bust outlined. It's ridiculous. Why does she feel as though she still has to do that? Doesn't she feel as though she's become popular enough without all these shock treatments?
Well,
she's getting a little older.
Well, yeah, you know, and I don't want to always shout out a woman's age, but in this point. At this point, it makes sense. I mean, she's a woman of 57. She's got kids that are grown up. One of them, or two of them, or some of them are in college.
Yeah.
You know, she's running around. And then she said...
Yeah, her kids are disgusted with her because of the way she acts and the way she dresses. It's become an embarrassment.
I mean, I would think so. What I will say about Madonna is she carries herself with tons of confidence. She worked that red carpet like she was 26. But there is a time when you kind of have to say, you know, what are we going to do? Like, you know, you don't have to go in there like you're in Downton Abbey in to the floor length gown. But, you know, I think that, you know, it could be a little bit, you know, toned down. Now, a little backstory. She actually had the whole red carpet cleared for when she arrived. She didn't want anybody else on there. She wanted all eyes and cameras on her. So she made people wait, like Katy Perry, Kim and Kanye, even Naomi Campbell. She made them wait for her to finish up. And I just thought that was ridiculous. I don't want to go against the Madonna fans, but I don't know. To me, I can't get behind all this. The theme of this event was Manus and Machina, which is fashion in the age of technology, and basically it means robot dresses galore. So there was a lot of silver, a lot of people trying to look like they're from the future, and then Madonna showed up with lace covering her boobs and ass. That was it.
Well, to me, that covering on her boobs and her butt looked like straw. It looked like she was wearing something with straw on her boobs and her butt from the picture that I saw. Hmm. But it wasn't very flattering to me. You know,
no.
I mean, sometimes the less seen, the better you are, especially when you get to a certain age.
I always say with her, it just makes it that much more difficult for her to make a transition to a more age-appropriate look. As long as she keeps this going, as long as she dresses like she's in her 20s, which is her prerogative, but it just makes it harder and harder to be able to evolve and to be some type of age-appropriate look or a little bit more toned down, because then really everyone is just going to say you're flat-out old. You know, if you go from walking the Met Gala like looking like this and then next year showing up looking age-appropriate, then it's like, oh, wow, a major change. Instead of making a gradual change, kind of like the evolution, like the evolution of Lady Gaga. But she took a major step back at this Met Gala. What did you think of her look?
Lady Gaga?
Yeah.
It was very revealing, and she had that, you know, very tight, tight pants on that went up over her.
She had no pants on, but she had, like, the one piece. Yeah,
it was like a one-piece kind of garment that went way up, you know, over her thighs, and looked like some kind of a metal thing that she was wearing.
I love the jacket. The jacket she had was very technological and very like very new age and contemporary. That was cool. But yeah, no, I mean, does she need to do that anymore? I thought the new Gaga had evolved.
Well, I'll tell you, Lady Gaga, when she worked with Tony Bennett, she was absolutely fabulous. She looked beautiful. She had on these long flowing gowns. She sang beautifully. She's got a gorgeous voice when she wants to sing properly. And I was very impressed. And then she sang the Star Spangled Banner. And at one of the games or something that she sang it.
Yeah.
She sang it. I'm telling you, she sang that Star Spangled Banner just as good, if not better, than Whitney Houston did it years ago.
Wow.
It was beautiful. Yes, she did it great. And she did a great thing with David Bowie as a tribute to David Bowie. She did that very well. And she doesn't, she can look beautiful. She's not really a beautiful girl. In fact, right now, she's got very, very bleached blonde hair, and it doesn't do anything for her. She looked much better when her hair was darker and toned down. But I don't think she's made her statement by coming out and being absolutely crazy. But in this outfit that she was wearing on this occasion that we're talking about, she went back to those 12-inch heels with the 12-inch platforms on the shoes. I mean, come on. I mean, I've seen her. She's worn those, and she's had to have men helping her walk because she can't walk in them. You don't have to do that anymore. You've made your statement. People admire you for who you are. Go back to being natural. She looked beautiful when she did it with Tony Bennett. She really did. Mm.
And a friend of yours, Tony Bennett, actually.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Tony Bennett. I've met him quite a few times. Yeah.
Well, next time you see him, maybe you should check in on Gaga. Just saying.
Yeah, well, I don't know what keeps Tony Bennett going. He's going to be 89 years old pretty soon. So he did a wonderful thing with Lady Gaga, and like I said, she's made her name, she's made her statement, and unless she really wants to dress weirdly like that, she doesn't have to.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she's very beautiful when she's natural.
Yeah, I agree.
That's my opinion of Lady Gaga. Mm-hmm.
Well, have you missed Mama June from television? Have you missed her on your DVR or passing through the flipping channels?
No, I haven't missed her at all. And She screwed up her daughter's program by going out with that child molester. And then she had to have some kind of, I think, an operation to lose weight. Yeah, she had to have some kind of a stomach, I don't know what they call it, when you have your, make your stomach smaller that you don't eat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the gastric.
Yeah, and,
well, she
yeah, gastric back.
Yeah, she's going to appear at the time of us recording this podcast. This episode of Where Are They Now had not yet aired, but she did make an appearance on Where Are They Now, her Honey Boo Boo and Company. And their show has been off the air for 2 years. It doesn't seem that long.
No. Well, they said that Honey Boo Boo has matured quite a bit since she hasn't been on her program. Good for her. I wish her mother would mature. Mm-hmm. She's probably still going out with that child molester. She goofed up her daughter's program, and now the daughter's at a loss because the mother goofed it up. The mother went to have her own program, and Honey Boo Boo's out in left field with nothing.
Yep, there you
What a mess.
Well, Honey Boo Boo's 10. She says that she learned that the show was over when she woke up one day and asked where the crew was. Interestingly enough, she said she was happy and sad. So maybe, by saying she was happy, partially, that means that she wasn't too into doing that show. And I don't really blame her.
I know it. It was a waste of time.
Yeah.
It really was. With that, with that crazy family she's got. Well, she probably had to be with them.
Yeah.
She probably had to be with the family all the time to do that show. That's probably why she was happy that it was over.
She didn't want to be with them.
No, that's what I mean. That's why that probably was why she was happy it was over. She didn't have to be with that crazy family every day.
Yeah. Well, there's someone else who's looking to get away. And what's Whoopi Goldberg? She is threatening to bolt from The View. And I don't blame her. Like I said a few episodes ago, that woman finally figured out what The View is all about. I could have told her in a short essay exactly what that show is. I'm not surprised. There are some articles on The Wrap and Daytime Confidential talking about her wanting to get the hell out of there. Her contract is up. Now, I've kept an eye on this contract. It was a pay-or-play contract. You know, this is just for a few years. And she's bitched and complained the entire time. She's already informed friends that she's, quote, fed up, but she's currently negotiating with ABC. So are you leaving or not?
Well, they say that she's ready. There's a question mark. Is she ready to leave The View, or is it just to bargain for more money? That's what they're wondering, And so who knows? And, of course, talking about The View, I don't look at it anymore. I'm not interested in it. I don't know any of the people that are on there, and I don't care about it. I don't care about knowing them. But did you know that Joy Behar was congratulated for bringing The View back to life?
Well, I mean, maybe the energy is different on the set, but the ratings are certainly dead. But, yeah. I mean, maybe it's fun to sit in the audience.
Yeah, I think it was in the TV Guide that they gave her a lot of credit for bringing the show back to life. And of course, the other one, that used to be on the show there, that Sherry Shepherd.
Oh yeah, friend to the show, well, Sherry, the World is Flat Shepherd.
Well, now there's this big thing going on about that baby that she didn't want anymore, that the husband had to take care of. And she has to pay child support to him $4,100 a month for him to take care of that baby.
Yeah, and it's only going to go up when he gets older.
Yeah, so, I mean, you can't fool around with Mother Nature. That's what I say. Either you do it or you don't. You can't change your mind in between.
Mm-hmm.
But she's paying the price, so that's what's going on with her.
I have to go into my rant of the day.
Grant's rant of the day!
I don't feel bad for Whoopi at all. I've been watching her on that show. She is so checked out. We've said this on the show numerous times. But recently, and I watch very closely, recently she's been very crabby and she snaps back at the control booth when they tell her things in her ear. You can tell she doesn't want to be bothered at all. She's not there on Fridays. She doesn't be not bothered at all. She doesn't participate in their live stream show that streams online. They have like an after show online. Couldn't be bothered with that. She is doing the bare minimum. And I wouldn't be the least bit surprised if she was done over there. I think she should be. She finally realized it's an embarrassment to be on that show. That show is dead. I read an article that nothing is boosting those ratings. No guest co-hosts are. Even when Rosie was on for her short return, they said that didn't even make a dent in the ratings. That show is just flatline dead. Now, of course, I think it should be canceled, but it's heading into its, 20th season? So they're not going to be able to kill it. It's the 20th season. It's one of those hallmark seasons. And something that really pisses me off more than anything is that the decline in that show is always credited to the exit of Barbara Walters. That sinking ship was going down long before Babs called it a day. So I will not credit the success of that show to Barbara. Cannot handle it. That's my thought on that. I just had to get that off my chest.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't blame Whoopi Goldberg. She does leave because if it reaches the point that you're on something or working at something that you're not happy with, it's time to get away. Time to get out of it.
I know something about that.
Yeah, and you know, even the money sometimes doesn't keep you there. I'm sure she's not dying for money. I'm sure she's got enough money. She probably wants to do something a little different. And I can't blame her for that.
Yeah, but she's been on since 2007. I mean, you know.
Yeah, no. It's no good. I mean, if you're not happy doing something and you're bored with it, it's time. You're not adding anything to the show.
That's true.
So it's time to leave. And time to get on something else.
Raven Simone.
So I agree. Yeah.
Yeah. Raven Simone, it doesn't look like they're going to keep her around. I'm surprised that Candace Karen Bure wants to continue. She commutes from L.A. Who could be bothered doing that for that show? I don't know. I think it's a total wrap. But the show did get picked up for its 20th season, so.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, it'll never go away. Anyway, elsewhere on the ABC lineup, of course, we'd be remiss if we didn't mention Michael Strahan and Kelly Ripa and how poorly that was handled.
You know, actually, Strahan and Ripa, they can't stand each other. You know that?
Yeah.
They really can't stand each other. Now, I never look at the morning shows. I never liked Matt Lauer or Katie Couric. I don't like the other girl that's on with him now. And I don't know what the appeal is with Matt Lauer, that he's been there for so many years. I remember when he was in Rhode Island, he used to be on PM Magazine. And, you know, all of a sudden he got so famous. He's out there. And, I mean, they keep him like he's a piece of gold. There's so many other people that could, you know, be on that show and everything. He's been there for years. Anyway, that Kelly Ripa, they say that, you know, she got pissed with that Michael Strahan because they didn't tell her, you know, that he was leaving and all that. But, you know, Ripa will never leave that show because of her paycheck and her spending habits. She and her husband spend a lot of money. So she's never going to leave that show. No matter how much she says she's pissed with everything, she's going to be there because she needs that paycheck. Now, Strahan, he's going over to the Good Morning America.
Yeah.
I have some advice for him.
Oh, you have advice for him? Oh, I was just going to say, Good Morning America has been losing in the ratings to NBC's Today. So they're really trying to keep that going. So what do you want to say to Michael?
Well, that Strahan, you know, he's an athlete. And, you know, I find athletes very dull.
Yeah.
they really don't have any personality because they're athletes. They're not show people. And when they talk, it's like in a monotone. We made so many baskets in the last game. We made so many runs in the last. And they talk like that, you know. They're just dull athletes. They're not. So I don't find him that attractive. And like I say, get rid of that gap in your front teeth. It's not appealing.
No, you don't think that.
Bobby figures that's his trademark, you know. But you have the money, fix it, because it'll add a lot more to your appearance. That's how I feel.
Well, I've always said that about Michael when it comes to him being the athlete. It's like they found one athlete besides Terry Crews that's charismatic. It's like they use the same people to do the same things. And it's like they treat him like he's gold. Now they're rolling out the red carpet for him to go to Good Morning America. I mean, I don't knock anyone's game. He's making good money. You know, he seems to be he has a great following. He's dynamic in his own way, but I never enjoyed him on Live, so I'm not going to follow him over to Good Morning America. I'm a Today Show guy anyway, so I don't even watch Good Morning America.
No, I don't either. I don't watch any of those morning shows at all. I'm really not interested.
Well, I think that'll do it for us for the Hot Topics. I really wanted to talk to you about some TV stuff. I know you had advice for the ladies in Beverly Hills, and I know that you always enjoy getting upset with the Honey Boo Boo, so I have to definitely put that on there. Yeah, and I'm still giving a side eye to that Met Gala, Gaga and Madonna, the two of them.
Yeah, put on some decent clothes. You don't have to do that crap. It's ridiculous.
You're listening to Grant's Rants. Please rate, subscribe, and share on iTunes and social media. Spread the word. There are a lot more rants to come. Follow us on Twitter at Grants_Rants. And now for the one-on-one.
Now, many of you know that I am a host and personality over at AfterBuzz TV. God, we've done 26 episodes of Grant's Rants, and I'm so glad that you guys are so supportive of this show. But I actually do other things besides hosting, and I don't really talk about that on this show, but I also work in television. I've worked heavily in unscripted and alternative programming and had a variety of experiences in the 7+ years I've been out here. So I thought, you know, let me open up about all that I've been doing out here so that way you can get a better understanding about me and just kind of my Hollywood hustle and Hollywood struggle, because it's been one for the books.
I'll say.
Yeah. And, you know, Granny is joining me as just, you know, the perfect guest co-host for this chat, because she's been the one, similar to now, on the other end of the phone, listening, giving advice, saying prayers, lighting candles. So she's nothing but supportive from before I even moved out here. So I thought, you know, couldn't it be more appropriate to have her recount some of these wonderful and not so great experiences?
Boy, you've had some experiences, let me tell you. You've stuck with it. I give you a lot of credit. You've got a lot of persistence.
Yep. Well, on Twitter,
never give up.
Yes, never. On Twitter, at Wendy T. Shaw tweeted me and asked if we get paid at AfterBuzz TV. And no, I do not get paid there. That is not my profession. That is not my full-time job. That is just a bonus. That is just a side gig. And I absolutely love doing it, and it keeps me alive. And it's been the one constant through line I've had for the majority of my career. So I have to still get out there and fight for a living. So, you know, I've definitely been all over the place. And I want to talk briefly about just my little story. I started off really spoiled, actually. I had those great internships on the soaps. I was over at ABC Daytime and CBS Daytime, and that was like my first introduction. It was just like network, wonderful, just such a great experience. No, I did not intern on The View. They wouldn't even allow me on that set.
Well, I came to see you when you were working on The Bold and the Beautiful, and it was a wonderful, wonderful experience for me. And you took us all around on the sets, and I still look at the Bold and the Beautiful every day because of that. And also, when you were in when you were working for NBC, and I came and you used to seat all the people in the auditorium there for the Jay Leno show. And we got on there and saw Jay Leno. It was a wonder. I've had some wonderful experiences since you've been out there.
Yeah.
You've had some tough experiences yourself. Yeah, I know that.
I do try to hook people up when I can, but not always that easy. And sometimes when you're on the out, there's nothing you can do. So basically, after all those internships, I graduated school in 2011, and I moved up to LA, and I lived with some hellish roommates. And the experiences I had at CBS and ABC were just like so hard to compete with, especially being on the outside, because it's one thing to get a good internship and it's another to get a good job. And I mean, after I graduated, I didn't have any calls. I had maybe one or two calls with like alumni. And that was like the highlight of the week. Like that was like I prepared and prepared. I had no idea what it took to get a job. It's extremely competitive, as y'all probably have heard, and that's just how it goes. But my first gig was this was my first introduction to 12-hour days, and this is when I was a PA on shows like The Bad Girls Club and The Real World. And, you know, I love some reality TV, as anyone who's listened to the show knows. But, yeah, those are my first experiences of actually being, quote, on set. And what humbling times. What humbling moments.
Yes, I remember you used to have to drive all around in this big van and go pick up meals and pick up people at the airport. And you had to do all these menial tasks back at the set. I think you even had to clean the bathrooms. And,
yeah.
Oh, God, you paid your dues 10 times over, let me tell you.
Well, that's the theme of this whole thing. Sometimes I feel like I still haven't. Other people want me to believe like I still haven't. So, I mean, who knows? This is just like the tip of the iceberg. But yeah, those were some long days. I had to drive this extra large production van to go pick up lunch one day. And they ordered lunch at, oh, I can't even look at it, that place, Panda Express. To me, I always say it's like dog food. I'll never eat there. And so I went there and I had to pick up like 6 and 7 trays. And this was in the valley. This was in the Calabasas. So it was so hot. And I had to put them in the back of this van, but we were running super late, and the way that these sets run, you have meals at a certain time, and if you do not serve food at the specific time, there's a meal penalty, and then everyone gets paid extra because they were supposed to be eating on the dot of a certain time. So they told me to rush down there and get it, so I loaded everything up in the heat the best that I could, but they didn't put the damn aluminum covers on these trays correctly. So the black beans, some type of black substance seeped out and got all over the car. Because, you know, I was driving to the canyon, so I'm turning in a hurry in this huge van that's like the size of a full lane. Those Toyota Siennas. I will never, ever drive a Toyota Sienna again. So I'm going through all this stuff, and then it's starting to smell because the car is hot. And so I'm like, this is just like the worst thing, because like literally we're serving fast food for lunch. Like that was the worst part of it all. And then I pulled up this driveway and there was a wall up the long driveway, and I just scratched the entire van all the way up the driveway because it wasn't wide enough. And I did like, it wasn't the whole way up, but enough to completely destroy the full side of the production van. And I don't know how I didn't get fired for that, but that's a little story of me.
Yeah, I remember when that happened. You were so worried that, you know, they were going to fire you over that. But I mean, you know, you never had any experience driving those big vans like that. It's a wonder that you didn't get into big accidents over there driving that van. And if that driveway was so narrow, how could you possibly not?
Fun fact, that house that we shot that show at was actually one of Chris Brown's houses. And if anyone remembers when Chris Brown had an intruder, a fan came in, a crazed fan came and was naked in his house when he came home. And he posted a photo on Instagram, and that's the same house. He doesn't live in anymore. So a little piece of history there, a little fun fact. And for the rest of the summer, I had to drive that production van, and it stunk to high heavens because that juice, whatever it was, just ruined that car. And it was in the heat, and it just was. Those cars were literally in the desert. So when you got in them, they were like 90 yeah. degrees. Stuck to high heavens, but I didn't get fired from that job. I wasn't really a very good PA. It was too physical. You know, you have to put up big tents and run around, and I would get breakfast from Denny's, and not for me. I don't eat at Denny's, but I would get we'd have to pick it up for the members of the show, the cast. And then I would have to spoon everything out into chafing dishes so it looks like we'd got, like, you know, catered breakfast. Meanwhile, it was just me.
Yeah.
It was
didn't me. You have to set up a whole bunch? Didn't you have to go and pick up a whole bunch of furniture, too, and set that up on the set?
Yeah. Oh,
furniture?
Yeah. In fact, that staircase, that staircase with that crazed fan that was taking the photo on Instagram, and I stood on that staircase for hours taking out all these succulent plants from some planter that was on the staircase. Yes. Ugh. I'm all for paying dues, and that was a first job, and I actually was very grateful to have it. But then from there I went to working third shift, logging tapes and doing all that type of stuff. And it was all good in the beginning, but like anything, you really want to pay off. And NBC saved me, really, by me getting into the NBC Page program. That has really just kept me afloat out here, like, unbelievably. And like you mentioned, we got to see The Tonight Show. My uncle flew out here, and we saw Obama on The Tonight Show. We got box seats, which were incredible. And I'm, you know, a huge Obama fan, so to be able to be there was amazing. And that just being on that set, because Granny, you and I used to talk about Jay Leno all the time. That's how I got into late night TV.
Yeah. Well, you said Jay Leno was a nice guy in person.
Yeah, you know.
Jay
would pick up trash on the floor in the audience.
Yeah.
Like, he was just.
I remember. Yeah, I remember you saying that.
Yeah, very nice guy. Yeah, can't say a bad thing about him. I actually miss having him on television. I know he's pretty polarizing to certain people, but I you know, grew up watching him. So, yeah, definitely.
He's got another show now about. He's got another show now about his cars.
Yeah, I haven't looked at that yet.
No, I haven't either. I saw it once, but I'm not too into cars anyway.
Yeah.
So after that Page program, then where did you go from there?
Well, I was very lucky because at the time the company was in a little bit of a transition, and I started off, I believe there were 9 pages, and I was one of 3 that actually got a job. Now, this job was just a temporary position, but it was with a very good team. I still stay in touch with them to this day. It was for The Biggest Loser, and it was like for their website. And it was that was a great little gig, and it kept me afloat until I got my next job. And then that job was in digital ad sales, and you know, we worked on different websites, like a lot of the cable brands. And, you know, that position saved me financially, but I was very creatively stifled in that position. You know, I was grateful to the team I worked with, but I also worked with some other folks in another city, and I kind of was like the low man on the totem pole, so I was kind of fell into being the scapegoat for a lot of other people's mistakes, which just doesn't sit well with me, because I am a perfectionist, and I don't like to, like, lay down and take it because I'm the low man on the totem pole, you know? That job had a very long commute, and we had to work at night. So I would leave work, get home, and immediately have to get on the computer working. And it really quit my style. It really did.
You never had any freedom with that job. You had to be on call all the time.
All the time. And I'll never forget, I locked myself out of the house on a rainy day, and I had to check an email at a certain time, and then I had to go to Paramount to get my roommate to give me the key, and then had to, this is like before or early stages of Uber, so I had to get some type of friend take me back and forth, and stuck out in the rain having to worry you've about emails.
You've had so many, by the skin of your teeth episodes.
And it's not easy for anyone. And if it was easy, everyone would be doing it. So, I mean, I'm just kind of sharing where I'm coming from, kind of what's shaped me this far into it. You know, I'm like too deep to turn back now. There's nothing else I can do. So I have to just live with it.
You've learned a lot. You've had a lot of experiences, and you've learned a lot about people.
Yeah.
And who's trustworthy and who isn't, and who gives promises and doesn't follow through. And you've had a lot of disappointments that way.
Yeah. I mean, rejection is real. I just got an email today from a job that I didn't get. It's like every other day I wake up to something, or, you go for stuff. I mean, I've accepted almost everything that's come my way that made sense to me. But I've gone for incredible, the sheer volume of jobs that I've gone for, whether it's me applying myself or having, a connection or meeting with HR. I mean, going to New York and using my miles to take meetings there. You know, it's just such a real hustle. That's like, really kind of my story. And that's what really just motivated me to create this show, because everybody out here has to work so damn difficult just to land a gig. And they're not always good paying, respectable gigs either. I left NBC in March of 2015. And for a year or so, I was on the production company circuit. And I thought, being a seller and really conceptualizing these ideas and development would really be something great. And I enjoyed myself for the most part. I worked with a variety of executives, though. I mean, there's a lot of pressure in these production companies. So, people yell, they scream. I've had papers thrown in my face, been blamed for things. Yeah.
You had to take a lot of, you took a lot of abuse, really. There's no need for all that abuse. Those people should not be allowed to yell and scream and swear like that at people. Grow up.
Yeah, I mean, there was really nothing glamorous about any of it, to be honest.
No.
And it was a struggle too, because sometimes, I had two executives that English wasn't their first language, very hard to understand. I had to do crazy things. Like, I'll never forget how I had to book travel for a family of nine to go to Amsterdam, and actually, I think it was Russia, and all the passports and all the information I had was in Dutch. I had to book through Delta, basically, and the site kept expiring every time because it took me so long to enter nine people's information in a different language that it literally took me like 5 hours to book that trip. That was the most frustrating, because as soon as that page loaded, I couldn't waste a minute to even breathe. You have to get everything in there real quick, and if anything was wrong, then heads would roll. One position I was laid off from, they had to let a bunch of people go. So then I was out of work for months, a couple of months. And then that's when I conceptualized Grant's Rants. NBC saved me again. And I was temping for them for a while up until the end of the year, last year. And super grateful for the people over there for keeping me alive. You know what I mean?
Yes. So, you've had some close calls, believe me. You've had a lot of close calls where you just didn't know what was going to happen next or where the next dollar was coming from.
Yep. The last production company, I just left a production company to go back to NBC, actually. And I've been there just about a week. And it's a temporary position, but it's perfect for me at this point because I'm trying to find where I belong. And of course, with the success of Grant's Rants and AfterBuzz, and of course with all this desk experience, I'm trying to find where I fit. I'm like a very unique puzzle piece. So with being in this position, it's better hours. It just allows me to really kind of figure out what it is that's next for me. I feel like I've done so much in a short period of time, so I have no idea what's next. None.
Well, I told you, sometimes one door opens and you know what you have to do. Yeah. Sometimes the decisions are made for you. Something happens and you know this is it. And I think, where you are now is good. You have, you know, decent people. You don't have these people that are screaming and yelling and swearing. I mean, I'm surprised. I'm surprised that people that are in executive, supposedly executive positions, can get away with all that terrible abuse to the people that work for them.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem right.
I mean, you know, it's like everyone says, do your year. And that's like the big thing, like put in a year at a desk, put in a year in a position. Well, and with all these positions, with the exception of one position at NBC that, you know, I ended up leaving for their production companies for, I was like 2 years. So I've already been doing these years. So it's like very humbling to have to start fresh on another desk as an assistant because they're expecting you to do your year. But I've been doing that for 7 years. So it's like, when do you move on and graduate and move up? You know, it's a humbling experience, you know. It's not always easy. And it's like you do really hard work for people. And I'm not complaining. I'm just stating a little story. But, you know, you work hard for someone. And then on your last day, they don't acknowledge you. And they say, do you want to get me my lunch one last time? Well, sure. But, you know, it's a little disheartening because, you know, it's a lot of work for, you know, and that's like, that's this business in general. I don't expect special treatment, but I do expect my work to pay off for me. That I do expect. You work hard.
And you should expect a little respect also, and a little bit of gratitude because I know you give 110% to your jobs. You're very conscientious. You want things to be good. You want to do a good job.
Of course.
But if you don't get any, you know, thank you for it, you kind of lose interest after a while. It's like, you know, throwing good money after bad. You keep trying. And when they, you know, they don't seem, you know, to have any gratitude for what you do. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times you take jobs and they don't tell you the truth about the job. You take the job and you're supposed to do one thing. You get there and you have to do five things that they never told you about.
Yep.
And, you know, for the same amount of pay and no benefits. So, I mean, it is disheartening. And I give you a lot of credit for sticking in there and keeping on trying. You never give up. You've been on the edge so many times. And then something seems to come along and just swoop you up again and kind of push you along again and save your life again.
Yeah,
but you've been on that edge so many times, not knowing where the next dollar was going to come from.
I'm very fortunate that something does come along to sweep me off my feet and help me, but it's not for a lack of extra work. You know, getting out there and going for drinks with people, taking meetings, flying across the country. You know, I've missed out on a lot of stuff to take an interview or to take a meeting. You know, it's a lot. You know, in this business, for me, I'm totally married to my career. So it's like, that's just how it goes, you know, for me. And I expect that. But, you know, after 7 years, I do kind of want to put my hat on, like, you know, put my hat down for a minute and, like, take off my coat. Like, would love to be able to do that for a little while.
You've reinvented yourself so many times against, you know, so many odds.
I really have had to reinvent, like, at least minimum 4 times, like, totally from the ground up. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and like things.
I don't know how you do it.
Yeah, and I'm like, you know, life.
That's
happens.
Because you're so. That's because you're really, really so motivated, and you want it so badly. You have that fire in your belly to get there, and if you don't have that, I don't know how the people survive it, because they really have to want it badly enough to stick in there, and you have that stick-to-itiveness.
Yeah,
and you will get there. I am convinced you're going to get there. And you do have a lot of support from us here, your family. Mm-hmm. Thank God that we're in back of you.
Yeah.
And, you know.
And I appreciate that. Yeah. Well,
I know you do.
Well, my advice to anyone listening that perhaps would want to get into this business, but this is from my experience only. I have not worked at a talent agency. I have not worked at a management company. But from what I've explained, this is just coming from my POV, that you know, basically, production companies are a great place to start if you're out of school and you don't mind cutting your teeth and, you know, you're okay with a lower wage at the beginning and, you know, if you have a lot of patience. You know, that's my advice. If you feel as though you have patience with working on the production side or serving an executive, you know, it's a great place because production companies, you can move up quicker. You can move up kind of quickly, especially this is more like an unscripted TV more than anything else. But yeah, there is opportunity for that. And, you know, on the flip side, going to a network, you know, there's good money at networks, benefits, and, you know, they look really good on a resume. Sometimes production companies aren't necessarily household names like CBS. So that's kind of, you know, a plus. However, moving up at these networks is a slow, glacial pace. And a lot of these networks like you to start there, leave, and then come back. And then that's when you can kind of make a move up. I had a very hard time making a lateral move at some of these companies, and that's why I had to leave and do other things. But it's all part of the forecast of jobs and the economy and really what's available. But I mean, I could really write a book, especially on what keeps me motivated, just the overall rejection and all the politics that come into play. You know, I've come so dangerously close. I've come top two people for jobs, and then it disappears overnight.
Yeah, I know it. It's so, you know, it's almost like I can't think of the word I want.
It's a cycle. It's a cycle for me. I mean, yeah. It's like, you know, that's just how it's been out here for me. It's a constant pattern of, you know, you go, it looks good, it looks good. It's a final interview, you're ready to hear, and then silence. So I'm telling you, it's kind of like acting. It's kind of like acting, like going on these auditions, you know, just kind of wait to see if the phone's going to ring, you know?
Yeah.
And count on it not.
I know. You deserve something good, and I think something good is going to come to you in the future. Somebody's going to recognize that you're a very good worker, and you'll be an asset to their company.
Absolutely.
It's very difficult. There's so much competition, a lot of competition.
Yeah, more than that.
But you've come to the top. But you've come to the top position so many times, the top candidate so many times. It's always been you and maybe one other.
Yeah.
And, you know, and you get your hopes up and dashed again. But I guess you kind of get immune to it and almost expect it after a while.
Well, that's been a through line in and of itself. I mean, yeah, that's been something that I've been working on throughout all these things. But regardless, I'm still doing it. So what more can I say? There's so much. And I'll sprinkle a little bit of my experience throughout these episodes where we chat with other members of the industry and people who are out there doing it too. But that's my story. And I'm glad that you could share it with us, Granny. I'm glad that I could share it with you guys and Granny, who's been here through all of it.
Hopefully someday you're going to get up there and you're going to get the job that you really like and make yourself some good money, and you can get your own apartment.
Yeah.
And
I hope that I can finally find the right fit for me. That's what I've been in pursuit of. So I will keep you all posted as things unroll. I am so appreciative to all the people that have found this show. This show has kept me sane through all these twists and turns. And there's a big announcement coming for Grant's Rants Hollywood Talk in the coming weeks. So keep an eye open for that. To do that, you can follow me on Twitter. You can like Grant's Rants Hollywood Talk on Facebook. And you can just stay tuned on these shows because I will be making the announcement coming up on one of these shows soon. Granny, June Flory in Coventry, thank you for joining me and for just, you know.
Oh, it was my pleasure.
Talking about everything.
And I hope we can do it again soon. I hope the people like it and get some more down-home talk.
Granny, where can we find you on Twitter?
You can find me on Twitter on JuneBug1929.
There you go. Follow her. Check out her Twitter. And I love it. I love it. Well, we'll have more talk. And Granny, we'll have to have you back on so you can tell us some more of your stories. Talk a little bit about your book. I know you have going on.
I have a lot of stories, believe me. I have them all. And as I'm writing, I'm finding more and more that I can write about. Things I kind of forgot about, yeah. But it's coming back to me. So I always can talk, believe me. Well, I always can talk.
We'll be here to listen. There you go.
This has been Grant's Rants. Follow us on Twitter at Grants_Rants. Cover art created by Howie Roné. Voiceover by Sir Richard Wentworth. Original theme music composed by Alexander Arnson.